And Jude chapter 19 commands us to be edified, right? Yes. So the thing is this, why should we be edified? I mean, to know that I should spend an hour or two praying in tongues, okay? We know that we should do that, but why? So I want to spend the next few minutes now, and I think this is one of the meatiest part of this teaching, is to tell you what happens and why you're edified when you pray in tongues. And what I believe, going forward, you'll never again take praying in tongues so lightly. To know that you should pray in tongues isn't enough. If you really believed it edifies you, if you really knew that, if you really understood how it edifies and qualifies you to fulfill the call of God on your life, the very thing you desire most in your heart, no one could keep you out of your prayer closet. So today I want to make certain that you understand what happens when you pray in tongues. This is going to be in Jane C. the Ball. It's going to be real simple, okay? Many Christians who know about 1 Corinthians 14:4, but they will still spend their time with man-made programs and trying to figure out God's plan for their lives in their heads. This is what was happening, as far as I'm concerned. It's a thing that's happening in the men's ministry in America today. It's why it hasn't taken off. It's why we still have more men hooked on pornography. We have more men leaving their children and so on and so forth. We have more men leaving their wives because why? They're all man-made programs. Well, ladies, don't feel left out. We are at the highest levels in our lives in this nation for women viewing pornography every day. Yeah, there's one lady wrote an article. She said, I went shopping on the internet. I bought this, I bought that, and decided to empty my basket, but at least I was able to enjoy myself with all the pornography that I watched. Wow. Now, you don't think advertisers purposely do those things to know that it's arousing you in some kind of way, ladies? They know you very, very well. Pornography is an all-time high, women viewing pornography every day. You really think we're going to change this country by simply putting in some rules and regulations? You really think that just because we arrest somebody who has pornographic material that all of a sudden now it's going to dry up? No. We've got to change men's and women's hearts on the inside. Knowing that I should pray in tongues isn't enough. I want to know why I am edified. Why am I built up on my most holy faith when I speak in a bunch of syllables in the air for at least 2 or 3 hours that I really don't understand? So one day, as Pastor Dave Roberson was going over these scriptures, the Holy Spirit began to show him the why behind the edification process of tongues. So when I read this, I went, I'll never forget this. So why would I want to repeat it? Why would I want to improve on it? I'm just going to read what he taught me. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 2 says this. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto man, but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Let me stop right there. Anybody that prophesies anything different than edification, exhortation, or comfort, it's not prophecy. And we got to get that straight in the church. We think, we go around saying, oh, thus saith the Lord, I see this on you, sister. Now, God can speak to your heart. One day, she and I were talking, and she started talking about a subject, and the Holy Spirit just gave me a vision, and I said, and yeah, you need to come out and quit. You ought to start doing more of that because it's all on you. Now, she says, well, how do you know? I said, I really didn't know. I said, the Spirit of God just told me that. And it was spot on. And I'm going, I know it's spot on because I heard it in my heart. But we cannot go around thinking at any given time, any place, we can go, thus saith the Lord. Now, when that Spirit comes on a person, and it does come on a person, and it will come on a person, comes on Cheryl quite a bit, and she begins to speak, those things will come to pass. That's how you know it's real prophecy. But I can tell you, there are so many things I've heard over the last 10 years prophetically have not come to pass. I'm not going to name names because I could. I mean ministries, big ministries that have prophesied and they didn't come to pass. And I'm going to tell you something. When I hear a prophecy, I'm always got my ear to the ground. Let's make sure it comes to pass. So that's why when you prophesy, prophecy should be in the form of edification, exhortation, and comfort. I'm going to explain that here in a minute, okay? Now notice in verse 4, Paul says, he who prophesies does what? He edifies the church. Well, why is the church edified? Because through the simple gift of prophecy, which is equivalent to the gift of tongues and interpretation operating together, suddenly, now get this, the mind of Christ for that day and hour is made known to that particular public assembly. What is the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ is the mind of the Spirit that is inside you. That mind of Christ knows exactly what Jesus is thinking about and what's in his heart and what he's interceding over. So in other words, I don't want to get ahead of myself. A person who prophesies speaks to men unto edification, exhortation, and comfort. Verse 3. But all exhortation has to be based on a scriptural foundation, or there is nothing to exhort about. For instance, I can exhort on Jesus stopping off at the moon to have breakfast on his way down here to the earth. But because that's not in the scriptures, I can't do that. There's nothing in the scripture about Jesus going to the moon and having some cheese and crackers for breakfast. Now, see, I want to mark your consciousness. That's why we have to be careful with this thing called prophecy. But all the exhortation has been based on a scriptural foundation, or there is nothing to exhort about. For instance, I'm sorry, I just read that. Therefore, sometimes the Holy Spirit will unveil a mystery through prophecy, illuminating the present day mind of Christ regarding a scripture that hasn't been understood. This is the reason why we have this revelation on praying in tongues in this hour. It's because God has begun to reveal a deeper revelation of what these scriptures mean. Why? He wants to get the church . He's tired of the church fumbling and bumbling and stumbling around. He sees the error that's in the church. He understands what needs to happen. And so he chooses a fast-talking black preacher to bring this message of tongues. And yeah, it has brought me a lot of criticism. It has cost me a lot of relationships. It has cost me a lot. But that's okay. Amen. It's all worth it to me. I wouldn't do any of it any different. Now, do you think it's a coincidence that he did it to a person that's in one of the largest churches in America? I think not. It's by design. Do you think when everybody was leaving the church, Cheryl, back in 1999 and 2000, you don't think we could have left with them? Boy, I tell you what, we sure wanted. I don't know about her, but I sure wanted to. I wanted to pack my bags and go, I'm done. I've had it. But there was something here that says, no, don't go anywhere. You know why God wouldn't let us go? This is what the rest of them didn't hear. There are people here that needs the deposit that you have in you. And if you leave, they won't get it. All you're going to do is go in some little bunch where you like, and you're going to just be all huddled up together and love on each other and complain to each other. And you're going to pretty soon, the same problem you have here, you're going to have it with them. He wouldn't let us do that. And I didn't understand all this. I mean, I used to tell people that I admire. I said, man, these guys are leaving. It's ripping me apart. It's tearing my heart out. And they were like, get over it. I'm going, oh, man, they don't understand. There was something going on the inside of me, man. It was, gosh, I mean, men that I had been around for years. And I loved them, man. And all of a sudden, they were leaving because of what I could think of was doctrine. I'm going, this is worse than a church split. And I'm going, God, why can't I go? He says, because just listen to me. It'll be worth your while.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I didn't understand all that then, but look back on it now, I see it very clearly.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Let me go on. After the Holy Ghost prophesies through someone unto edification and exhortation, a divine comfort comes through the body of believers that is different than an emotional high. They are comforted in a way that is stronger than any emotions. The prophecy picks them up in the spirit, gives them a sense of everything's going to be okay, that can stay with them for days and months and sometimes years. So when a person prophesies, it edifies the church collectively. Is that correct? And when he prays in tongues, now get this, he edifies himself individually. Why? However, the reasons why both the body of believers or the individual is edified are the same in both cases. Do you know why? Because the mind of Christ is now revealed. So here's the deal. You're going through a problem, and you're calling everybody up. What do I do? Oh, I ain't never. This is the big one, brother. Oh, this is bad. You need to hang the phone up. You need to get in your prayer closet and begin to pray in them other tongues, so that the mind of Christ can be revealed to you. Amen. And here's the thing. He won't take up an offering when it's done. I just said to be mean. Woo! Ain't it fun? He won't say, send me $19.95 and I'll reveal the mind. No, he just reveals the mind of Christ to you. He reveals the mind of Christ to you for that present day hour, and all of a sudden a peace and a calm comes over you and you go, it's going to be all right. And somebody goes, but you still got your problem. Yeah, I do, but it's something just telling me it's going to be all right. And you calm down. Why? Because the present day mind of Christ has been revealed. And you can have that anytime you want to. When I learned that, all of a sudden now, praying in tongues wasn't a problem for me. Because I knew whatever I was going through, he was doing all that he could to reveal to me the solution and where I was in the spirit with that problem. So I don't have a problem praying in tongues. Hour, 2 hours, it doesn't bother me. Why? Because I know the present day mind of Christ. I've been praying an intercessory prayer, and I'll pray in the spirit for like an hour. And when I begin to pray, I pray things I've never heard of before. And I'm going, where is this coming from? And boy, the more I keep espousing it, the more I keep praying, and I'm going, man, that's pretty good. And then I go, I'm not this smart. But where is it coming from? It's coming from the spirit. The mind of Christ is being revealed to all those intercessors for that time. And you ain't got time to come to intercessory prayer. Smack. I'm going to let it sit there for a second. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Ain't nothing wrong with that. So, prophecy causes the mind of Christ to be manifested collectively to the church. On the other hand, praying in tongues causes the mind of Christ to be manifested in you as an individual. For the Holy Spirit will begin to take the mysteries that you begin praying before the throne of God and communicate them back to you. How? Through revelation knowledge. And all of a sudden now, you have the mind of Christ. All of a sudden, you know stuff other folks don't know. How do you know that? Because you'll start talking to them and go, have you ever heard of this? And they'll go, no. And you'll go, okay, I know where it came from. Didn't come from man, that came from God. Because some of the smartest people I know, they'll go, I ain't never heard anything like that before. Never mind. I'll go to a meeting sometime, and I'll say, well, do y'all know how to increase the love of God in your heart? And they'll go, no, don't really care. And I'm going, never mind. Why? See, I'm not concerned about mechanics. I'm concerned about growing in the spirit. I want to make everything so simple that you know what to do whenever you face a problem. And if we keep everything so mystery, so mystified, that everybody's trying to figure out, what do I do next? And they're buying your books and buying your CDs and buying all these things, and they still don't get the answer. See, I always thought this. When I get to the next CD, the answer will be there. Or when I got to the next CD, the answer wasn't there. The answer lies on the inside of you. What you're seeking for is the current day mind of Christ for your situation for that hour. That's what you're seeking. Can I get it for you? No. No. Can your mama get it for you? No. Can your friend get it for you? No. You have to go in there and get it yourself. Yeah, but I want to watch my favorite program. Tell it to Jesus when you get to heaven. Just tell him the only reason why you didn't want to know is mine, because you wanted to watch America's Worst Idol or whatever that thing is y'all watch. Glory to God. Before spending 3 hours praying in the Holy Ghost would be one of the worst moves you ever made. And if you do it every day, look out, devil. You're building yourself on your most holy faith, receiving greater and greater revelation of the mind of Christ, and the devil has no idea what you're saying. He just has to watch it happen. If we simply say to the mountain, be removed and be cast to the sea, and if we shall not doubt, what is that verse? Mark 11:23. You can have whatever you say, where, in your heart. This is the very place the Holy Spirit edifies you when you spend time praying in the Spirit. Now, for the next few minutes, I'm going to go over Mark 11:23, and we're going to talk about doubt in your heart. Why? This is called contending for the faith. And we need to talk about what does it mean to doubt. Let's get on this real quick. Many of you, Mark 11:23, many of you already know what it says. We used to, back in the day, we used to call it Hagen 11:23. What was Jesus saying to you and me in these verses? He said that you can say to the mountain in my life or in your life, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and if I don't doubt in my heart, I'll have what I say with my mouth. The condition that must be met here is one, do not doubt in my heart. I don't think anybody has a problem with saying it, right? So the only condition that has to be met in Mark 11:23 is I shall not doubt in my heart. Now in verse 24, it says, Jesus says that we'll have whatever I desire when I pray, believing that I have received my answer. So when I pray, when do I believe I have received? When I receive it? No. When I pray, I believe I receive. So if you come back to me in 4 weeks and say, Pastor Craig, I didn't receive, I'm going to go, well, you lying thing, you. Because you told me you believed you received the day you prayed. Well, I didn't really receive. Well, then that's why you didn't receive, because you didn't believe you received. Now, I know some of you look at me like, what is he saying? See, that's the very thing we've been talking about all morning long. It's your unrenewed mind that's stopping you from believing that and from understanding that. And you need to pray in the Spirit about this until Mark 11:23 becomes just something that God wants you to do in your life. God wants Mark 11:23 to work in everybody's life. Do it one more time. When I let go of these keys, what happens? Why? It's a law. You ever heard of the law of faith? You know why it's called a law? Because it happens every time. God never fails. As I said this morning, some people say, God says sometimes yes, God sometimes says no, and God sometimes says maybe. To that, I say, you don't know what you're talking about. The Bible says all of the promises of God are, you know the, say again? Amen. So my point is, we all know the verse. So never again, when somebody tells you, sometime God, yeah. I had a man one time, he told me, he says, why doesn't the verses in John chapter 14 and 15 where God says, whatever you pray, you can, it'll come to pass. How come that's not happening? I looked that up, corner of my eye, and I'm going, ain't you a pastor? That's the wrong question. The question is why it doesn't happen. Here's the question. Why is it happening for us? That's the question. God's asking us that question. So what's wrong? Because the promise works every single time. It's not God, it's us. Why is it with us? I'm going to go back a few sessions. Because the stuff the world put in you, it gets in the way of you believing. It's the only problem that you got, sugar. And there's only one way to eradicate that problem, darling. Only one way. Spending time with your Heavenly Father. There's no way around it. There's no way around it. I don't have time. The devil has seen to it that you won't have time. He'll see to it. He'll see to it you don't have time to pray. Everybody in this room can tell me why you don't have time to pray. And I'll tell you what. When you stand before God, it will not stand the test. He's not going to go, man, I didn't realize that. Why didn't somebody tell me that? That's not going to happen. To clarify what Mark 11:23 was saying, and in fact, who said Mark 11:23? Who said that? Let me ask you a question. How many prayers that you have ever read about Jesus that did not come to pass? How many? You ain't going to find one that didn't come to pass. Just throw it out there. To clarify what he was saying, there is a place in God. There is a place in God. Where does God reside? In you. Where we can have whatever we say. If we come to the place in God where we doubt not in our heart. Hello, Jude verse 20. Jesus has provided for us something we can do on purpose just because we want to, just because we can. The care is an ironclad guarantee that will affect the part of me that does not doubt when I believe, building myself up on my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying in tongues will build you up above a walk where you are dominated by your senses into a glorious liberator, walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. By affecting myself through the edification process and building up my spirit up on a higher and higher plane through praying in the Holy Ghost. Therefore, when I speak to the mountain, there's only one question left between me and the walk of a devil-stomping, mountain-moving power, and that question is this. Do I have the guts to pray until the power comes? Do I have the guts to pray until the answer comes? Do I have the guts to pray until the mind of Christ is revealed to me? It's the only question now. There's no other question. Because when I pray in tongues, I will be edified. Edify it to a point where I can hear the present day mind of Christ for me in the year 2018. Amen. I can hear the present day mind of Christ for June 7th, 8th, 9th. Sorry. I'm still dealing with the last mind of Christ, but no. I can know the mind of Christ for June the 9th, 2018, this very moment. If I have the guts to pray until that comes. It's not a matter if it comes. It depends upon if I can pray till it comes. Brother Copeland said this last year at his convention. He started out this in his, I think he was teaching on faith. He says, if you ask the Holy Spirit anything, he'll answer you. Anything. Now, what he meant by anything that is consistent with the gospel. He ain't going to tell you how to sell dope. Well, he will tell you not to. Amen. Therefore, when I speak to the mountain, again, the only question left is not a matter of if it'll happen. Why? Because it's not a question or not will the power come, because the power will come. The only question, do I have enough guts to hang in there until it comes? And most people have quitting sense. The devil has taught you how to quit. The devil has taught you how to give up. I've been praying in tongues for a whole week and I ain't seen no difference yet. I've been worshiping God now for about 2 or 3 days and I ain't seen no difference yet. My goodness. You know, what if Jesus could look ahead of time and said, Father, now you about to nail some, you'll put some nails in my hand, nails in my feet, the spear in my side, thorns on my head. I'm about to take a beating of my life and my back, and you want me to die for this bunch? Are you serious? And some of them won't receive me anyway. Why are we doing this again, Father? Now, see, that doesn't sound right coming out of his mouth, does it? But yet and still, coming out of your mouth, I just don't have time to pray in tongues. If that doesn't sound right to Jesus, it doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound right to you that Jesus would say those things about you. Well, then you can't say, Jesus, I don't have time to pray in tongues. If you're a businessman, the Holy Spirit will come in power in your business. If you're a preacher, it'll come in the power of your ministry. The question is not, will the power come? When Jesus inspired these words in Jude 20, he took it out of his own it came out of his own golden tongue, speculative theology, and put it in the realm of fact. And if Jesus said it, it is so, whether you believe it or not. This isn't a democracy. Jesus is not trying to get your vote. Jesus didn't ask you for your vote. Your job is not to change God's truth, but to have it and allow it to be revealed to you. Jesus inspired you to write verses 19 and 20. So Jesus is saying this: there is a key that when acted upon will build you up above a sense dominated walk where everything you've been delivered, everything that you've been delivered from, everything that would defeat you, you have now been delivered from. You want to know why so many Christians fail in their walk? They don't spend time with God. They don't spend time getting the trash out. I love that reaction when I said, ladies, do you mop your floor first before you sweep it? I'll never forget that. The reaction that I saw, I'll never forget it. It's the same reaction that Christ says, you're believing me and you haven't gotten the trash out yet? Ugh. That's what she did. Isn't that what you did? That's what she did. Ugh. That's what Jesus went, ugh. You're going to come to me, and you're going to believe I'm going to deliver you and answer you a question, and you ain't spent time with me? Oh, come on now. Now, if you're a babe in Christ, yeah, I can see him saying, okay, I'm going to do it. But you've been around this long? He's going, ugh. I'll never forget that, man. You just taught me a message. I'll never forget that. When she did that, I was like, wow. Okay, we're going to stop right there.